You're gonna be okay. It just takes a little while to get used to.
Oh, I get it. It's complicated, right? Well, we all have our stories and our minds. Complicated.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast with the legend of three more rings than a small barbecue grill. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with R. Mike Pizmayer Burr.
I'm that burning sensation you feel.
Rage, George is getting upset, Moulton.
The last police store called, and they're running out of you.
And Ryan, up high, Ferguson.
I'm going to high-five you so hard when you wake up, your clothes are going to be out of style.
Hello to all of our players and listeners, and thank you so much for joining us today. We are still in Season 5 with the second elimination in the San Dimas High Division. Joining us today is our friend Score Master Dan. Hey there, Dan.
Hey there, Taylor. Now, we have had some internal controversy about this recently, so I just wanted to say that as a program, we are happy for you to listen to the show, whatever speed works for you, whether that's at normal speed, 1.1x, 1.5x, or 2.0x. Of course, I'm always talking fast enough that you're listening at double speed. You're not going to understand anything I'm saying, but it's the thought that counts, right?
Thanks, Dan. Also with us today is Production Master Dan.
Panther AS-565 attack helicopter, a pair of Russian mortars, Chilean mines, German explosives, fun for the whole family.
Well, let's start off the fun of today's game with our first round, a round of My Champion. That's the game where each one of our players has chosen their champion from somewhere out in the world of pop culture. We choose the battle that those champions are fighting. Work in progress, R. Mike Burr, who is your champion today?
My champion is the Tick's second but best sidekick, Little Wooden Boy.
7-Eleven coffee connoisseur, Rage Moulton, who have you got for your champion?
My champion is the woman in the restaurant who says, "I'll have what she's having," in When Harry Met Sally.
And giver of high fives and doer of good things, Ryan Ferguson, who is your champion today?
Oh, my champion is Jack Reacher from Lee Child's book series.
All right, three champions are locked in. Scoremaster Dan is going to serve as our judge today. So I think that means it's time to spin that scenario wheel. Today's scenario, which champion would make the best foreign correspondent? R. Mike, why is the little wooden boy from The Tick going to be the best foreign correspondent?
Well, I think a lot of these arguments often rest on skills, but I think that what little wooden boy brings is heart, because he's made of heartwood. And when he gets in a foreign country and is delivering the news on whatever's happening, people are going to see that heart, and people are going to realize what little wooden boy is doing is delivered with truth, is delivered with, you know, the heart of a hero. It's something that people can trust and people can get behind. So I don't think there's really any other choice but little wooden boy.
Thank you, R. Mike. And Rage, make the case for the lady who says, "I'll have what she's having," from When Harry Met Sally.
Okay, so what we know about this woman, she's very observant. She's aware of her surroundings. She has a comment to make, and she keeps it brief. She's relatable. She says what we're all thinking. Back to you.
Love that ending. And Ryan, how about Jack Reacher?
You know, I think Jack Reacher would make a great foreign correspondent. He's lived all over the world because of his experience growing up in the Army and being in the Army. So he's been stationed everywhere and lived a lot of places. If you've read those books, you know that he has this like preternatural ability to just know how to get around any place he shows up in. He can just look at the buildings and the layouts and just sort of know, in particular, if he's trying to find a good diner. He also used to be an MP in the Army. So he knows how to investigate and find out new information. And he's like really blunt and just, you know, makes a practice out of telling the truth all the time. So I think he would be good as a reporter as well.
Three pretty good arguments. I don't think I could choose between them, but luckily I don't have to. That honor falls upon Scoremaster Dan.
All right. So as always, we have to go through process of elimination. First off, we do have to think about Little Wooden Boy from The Tick, whose main power is the ability to get set on fire and smoke out the bad guys. Now, if you had said, oh, well, we're going to make smoke signals out of his body, then, oh, okay, we could give you that. But I don't think he's writing anything. He's not really animate, as far as I can tell. So we're going to kick him out. Honestly, I didn't think that Estelle Reiner from the diner scene really had much of a chance, but Rage made a great case, you know, that she is saying what everyone's thinking and she's observant and she's not willing to say it and she's saying it clearly and efficiently. And then we have that comes up against Jack Reacher. You know, so Jack Reacher, yeah, he knows everything. He's pretty taciturn though, right? He doesn't really talk very much. He mostly uses his, especially in the book, his big hands to strangle people. So I don't know if this is going to make for a great correspondent. I don't know how much he even types. He doesn't, does he even have a cell phone? Who knows? I guess I think we're going to give this one to Rage and Estelle Reiner from the diner scene and When Harry Met Sally, because I feel like she has something pithy to say. And that's what we really want out of a foreign correspondent. Winner day of My Champion, it's Rage.
Thank you so much. Hell yeah.
Rage, that means you're going to go first in round one, but also get a crack at the half point. Get this question right and you will have half a point to your name before we even start the first round of trivia. Here is your half point question. One of the original correspondents for Jon Stewart's Daily Show, this comedian has been more recently on Love, Victor and had a starring role on Dog with a Blog.
Oh my God. I don't even have a good joke answer. It's pass.
That comedian is Beth Littleford from The Daily Show, these days on Love, Victor. You still get to go first in round one, entitled Paper Movies. We're smart and snooty, so we know about books. Do you know about books? You probably do, so long as they've been adapted into TV, movies, or some other mass market property. In this game, I'll describe a particular book's process of mainstream adaptation. You name that adaptation. For example, if I told you that a book with the subtitle, A Novel About Three Army Doctors, was the basis for a movie and a long-running series that share a title, you'd know those adaptations were called...
MASH.
MASH, absolutely. If you'd like a hint, I can give you another helpful piece of information about that adaptation. 10 points for a correct answer before the hint, but just 5 points after the hint. Going to start off with our My Champion winner, Rage. This nonfiction book taking place in Odessa, Texas, has been the basis of 2 different TV series. One was acclaimed, and the other one starred Ben Affleck. It was also made into a film in 2004.
Oh my God. Okay. Can I have a hint?
Apparently, the combination of high school drama with real stakes for the town has been too compelling for producers to resist.
Wow. Walker, Texas Ranger.
Love that answer, but that's going to be the original book Friday Night Lights, adapted into 2 TV series and a movie.
Got it.
Next up for Ryan. This 1974 Stephen King novel has seen multiple screen adaptations and an off-Broadway musical, but only in the Brian Fuller TV movie adaptation does the main character survive the end of the story.
Pretty sure that's Carrie.
Yes, for 10 points. To our Mike. A book of poems by British writer T.S. Eliot became this long-running Broadway musical and bizarre 2019 movie.
I believe that's Cats.
Yes, for 10. Back to Rage. Many women, including Gloria Vanderbilt, claimed to be the basis for Truman Capote's lead character in this 1958 novella, which became a classic Blake Edwards movie.
Is it Without a Trace?
Not quite. That Blake Edwards movie is Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Oh my God. Okay.
Back over to Ryan. The 1949 German kids book Lottie and Lisa, about 2 girls who make a discovery after meeting at a summer camp, has been the basis for dozens of adaptations, most notably American versions with this title in 1961 and 1998.
2 girls who make a discovery at a summer camp. I'm going to need a hint.
The original German title is Das doppelte Luchen, which means the double Lottie, which seems a little mean to Lisa.
No clue. Pass.
Our Mike?
I believe that's The Parent Trap, but I got it off the German.
Of course. Yes, The Parent Trap, those 1961 and 1998 Disney movies. Our Mike, this next one's for you. Mickey Rapkin's nonfiction book follows college groups going to national tournaments and including former competitors like John Legend and Diane Sawyer. It became this film franchise.
I'm gonna need a hint on that one.
The book is subtitled The Quest for Collegiate Acapella Glory.
Hang on. It is with Rebel Wilson. Oh my gosh. Oh, okay. You got me. I'm done. I hadn't seen it. Nope.
Rage, what's that one?
It's Pitch Perfect.
The Pitch Perfect.
Of course it is.
Franchise. Rage, this next one's for you. The novel and movie for this 60s sci-fi property were developed concurrently, based on an Arthur C. Clarke short story.
It's 2001 A Space Odyssey.
For the full 10, to Ryan. A series of 19 novels by forensic anthropologist Kathy Reichs was adapted into this long-running procedural.
CSI?
That's going to be Fox's long-running drama, Bones. Next to our Mike. Clint Eastwood starred in and directed this 1995 adaptation of the best-selling Robert James Waller romance novel.
Very romantic. It's a go-to on date night for me, Bridges of Madison County.
A strong answer from our Mike's going to take us into our first update on the scores from Scoremaster Dan.
This book category is a little harder than I thought it was going to be. Honestly, our players are doing pretty well, though. Our Mike is in the lead with 20 points. Ryan and Rage are each tied with 10.
Let's kick it into the next part of the game with another book adaptation for Rage. In the book that this 2020 Hulu series was based on, the lead is described as, quote, not conventionally pretty, unquote. On streaming, however, Daisy Edgar-Jones looks great and dresses in designer clothes, so it's harder to see why she's supposed to be an outcast.
Okay, I'll take the hint, please.
Even if both of the main actors weren't very beautiful people, the Dublin setting is dreamy enough to make viewers swoon.
Okay, I'm just gonna guess, Dairy Girls?
This is Hulu's drama, Normal People. Next up to Ryan. A book by William Stieg was the basis of this successful franchise, which now includes four films, a spinoff, a Netflix series, and a Broadway musical.
William Stieg? That doesn't sound familiar. Can I get the hint?
The film series also marks one of the few times Mike Myers has been relevant this century.
Jesus. I mean, that's few and far between. Mike Myers. I don't think this is right unless I'm going to take a really weird guess and wonder if maybe William Stieg is also Stieg Larsson and say the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Wait, hang on. What was Mike Myers' role in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
Well, not in any of the original ones, but maybe in the spinoff that I didn't see or a TV show that
the
I didn't know about.
Do you think there's a Broadway musical of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
I would watch that musical.
Taylor, it's just called Girl.
Girl,
it's amazing.
That's right. We're hacking away. No, that's going to be Shrek, the Shrek franchise based off children's book from the 90s. Our Mike, back to you. Pulp adventure author Don Pendleton successfully sued Marvel over this derivative character, the subject of three movies and a Netflix series.
Give me a hint.
Pendleton's original character, Mac Bolan, is known as the Executioner.
Oh, come on. That's going to be the Punisher. Yuck.
For 5 points. Back over to Rage. Congo, Sphere, and The 13th Warrior didn't set the world on fire, but Michael Crichton also wrote the book that became this 1993 Sean Connery movie.
It's not what I thought this was going to be, unless I'm misremembering. Okay, I guess I'll take the hint.
There's a lot of people saying the Japanese have a saying in this movie, which doesn't play super well in 2021.
Wow, weird. I don't know. I will guess Jurassic Park.
Right up through the 1993 part of the question, that would have been right.
Yeah.
But Ryan knows this one, maybe.
I think it's like Rising Sun.
Yeah. Rising Sun is correct. Well done.
All right.
Ryan, this next one's for you. Henry Selick directed the stop-motion animation version of this creepy Neil Gaiman book about a girl who finds a portal to an alternate version of her family.
That is Coraline.
Yes, the 2009 movie version. And closing out round one with our Mike. The 1938 novel Alamut, dealing with a sect of medieval-era killers, is the best-selling novel of all time written in Slovenian. It also inspired a video game series and a confounding Michael Fassbender movie.
Give me a hint.
The novel even has assassins plunging from towers, but weirdly doesn't have any nonsense about the genetically enabled time travel.
Assassin's Creed. Come through.
On what he thought was a crazy guess.
Nice.
Got 5 more points for our Mike to close out round one. Next up, scores from Dan and on to round two. Hey, listeners. Taylor here to tell you about this week's exclusive Patreon content for the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. This Friday morning, our Patreon listeners will get a special bonus game called The Maze of the Multiplex. Put yourself back in the world of wandering the labyrinthine halls of your 18-screen movie house through listening to montages of audio clips from 3 movies all released on the same day. See if you can pick out the movies and figure out what's playing down the hall. That's all available at usaquizshow.com/membership. Whoosh.
Going to round two, it's time for the secondary dominance score break. Secondary dominance. I give the score break a 5 of 5. Now, that could be musical content or it could be adult content. And I don't know which one. I just read them. At this point, our Mike is in lead with 30 points. Ryan is right behind with 20. And to complete the pattern, Rage has 10 points. But that means she'll have to go first in round two.
It also means Rage is going to get a chance to make up some ground with the Threequalizer. Rage, I'm about to ask you a question that has 3 possible answers. You'll have 3 guesses to match as many of those answers as you can. 10 points for each answer you match. Your Threequalizer question is, families love going to the movies on Christmas. Adjusted for inflation, what are the top 3 domestic box office grossers with the word Christmas in the title? 2 of them star Jim Carrey.
So one would be A Christmas Carol. I will guess, oh my God, what is it? Oh, is it How the Grinch Stole Christmas? Okay, phew. Oh, this is gonna be really obvious or something. It's hard. I'm gonna say the 4 Christmases.
I like that guess, but it did not gross as much money as National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Okay.
Though forgetting the 2 Jim Carrey ones, you still pick up 20 points.
And we should say, Taylor, that is enough to move Rage into a tie for the lead with our Mike.
Fantastic. Well, we're just going to keep the Christmas Day theme going with round 2 entitled The Family Outing. Good news, everyone. It's Christmas, and you're on your way to the movies with your family. The bad news? Everybody wants to see a different movie, and no one can remember the names of any of them. In this game, I'll give you a brief description of 3 different movies that were among the top grossing movies in theaters on Christmas Day of a particular year. You have to figure out which movie your relative wants to see. So, for instance, if it was 1986 and one of your relatives wanted to see that Western with Martin Short, you'd know that he was talking about
The Three Amigos.
That would get you 10 points. You'll get 3 descriptions for each year for a total of 30 possible points per at-bat. Rage, we'll start at you, hot off the Threequalizer. We're looking at Christmas Day 1991. And someone wants to see a movie about a young woman being held prisoner by a monstrous creature. And it sounds dark, but it's got great musical numbers, so the kids will love it.
Labyrinth?
That's going to be Disney's Beauty and the Beast on Christmas 1991. Okay. On that same day at the box office, we've got Steve Martin in the Spencer Tracy role. What more do you need?
More information. Question. Cheaper by the Dozen.
It is a remake, but here we're looking for the remake of Father of the Bride.
Oh my, okay.
And the last one. I Just Want a Good Cry and Barbra Streisand and Blythe Danner in a romance-tint psychodrama is just the ticket.
I feel like I should know this. Is it The Way We Were?
Prince of Tides, the Barbra Streisand-directed movie. Next up to Ryan, we're looking at Christmas Day 1998 at the Multiplex. And someone wants to see that teen horror movie where Jon Stewart gets killed.
Teen horror movie with Jon Stewart getting killed? Well, it's definitely not Big Daddy. It's the only movie that's coming to mind right now with Jon Stewart in it. let's do I Know What You Did Last Summer. It's wrong, but...
That's going to be the Kevin Williamson written The Faculty on Christmas 98. Still for Ryan, how about that remake of The Shop Around the Corner?
Oh, that's You've Got Mail.
And that Robin Williams one where he's a clown, but not like an overtly scary clown.
Oh, that is tricky because you almost got me to say Death to Smoochie, but it's not Death to Smoochie. It doesn't have a clown anyway, but my head went there. No, it's Patch Adams.
Yes, 20 total points for Ryan. Next to our Mike, we're going 1 year earlier to Christmas 1997. Tarantino is adapting an Elmore Leonard novel in an homage to the blaxploitation films of the 70s.
I think we're going to go see Get Shorty.
Ooh, that is a Leonard adaptation. Ryan, what's that movie?
That is Jackie Brown, the best Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
Back to our Mike, also from Christmas 97. I love that classic John Landis horror movie, so I bet the sequel's going to be great.
Classic John Landis horror movie. Gremlins 2.
That's going to be An American Werewolf in Paris, the sequel to when he had been in London.
Nobody went on Christmas to see that.
And still on 97, the one where Helen Hunt just goes off on the insurance companies.
As good as it gets.
Yes, her Oscar-winning role for 10 points. Back to Rage, we're going a little bit more recent to Christmas Day 2001. We have to see the new biopic with Will Smith. It's such a departure for him.
Biopic. Oh my God. Is it The Legend of Bagger Vance?
That's going to be when he played Muhammad Ali in Ali.
Oh, okay.
Also on 2001 Christmas Day, I bet the new Cameron Crowe movie will have a great soundtrack, and with such a great cast, there's no way that the plot of this remake is going to be completely nonsensical.
Is that Armageddon?
I would watch Cameron Crowe's Armageddon. That sounds rad. No, this movie is Vanilla Sky with Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz.
Okay.
Still on Christmas 2001, I've been waiting years for someone to finally film The Majesty of the Fountain Show at the Bellagio.
I'm gonna guess Serendipity.
That's a really fun guess, but this is Ocean's 11, the Steven Soderbergh remake.
Oh, okay.
Next up to Ryan, we're going to the year 2005 on Christmas at the Multiplex. It's a crime movie, but with Jim Carrey, so it's funny and certain to have some trenchant satire, like Enron jokes.
13?
That'd be wild. No, that is Fun with Dick and Jane.
Oh, okay.
Also at the box office that day. Some people liked the ambiguous ending of The Graduate, but I demand a follow-up to tell me exactly what happened.
Oh, my goodness. I've seen this. It's not as terrible as you would think, but it's certainly not good. It's got Kevin Costner. Pass.
That's going to be the movie Rumor Has It, directed by the son of our My Champion winner. And still for Ryan, also from Christmas 2005. I say we get the best value for our money and see the new Peter Jackson movie. It's got dinosaurs and it's more than 3 hours long.
Oh, that's King Kong.
Yes, for 10 points. Next up, back to our Mike. We're going to Christmas 2008. It's an Adam Sandler movie, but it really plays with the nature of fiction and narrative, and he gets kicked in the nards. Something for everybody.
Click.
Now, this is going to be his Disney project, Bedtime Stories, a movie I have seen on buses with children more times than I can count. Also on Christmas 2008 at the box office. We've seen Gatsby a million times, so how about a big screen adaptation of a lesser F. Scott Fitzgerald work?
A lesser F. Scott Fitzgerald work. He wrote something else? let's think. A lesser F. Scott Fitzgerald. There Will Be Blood.
That's going to be The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Also would have accepted The Gatsby.
And still on Christmas at 2008. Nothing makes for a better family movie than a dog who messes everything up. And since it's kind of a romance thing too, I'm sure they'll have a happy ending instead of, you know, the dog just dying.
Oh, I can't watch this. My dad read this book and he's like, Mike, you got to read this book. I can't do it. Sorry. Mm-mm. Marley and me.
For 10 points, and that's going to take us into our next score update from Scoremaster Dan.
We still have a very tight game going on. Our Mike and Ryan are tied for lead with 50 points each. Rage is close behind. She's got 30.
All right, Rage, coming back to you. We're going now to Christmas 2009. I really feel like the first movie left so many unanswered questions about the novelty single famous rodents and the world they inhabit. I hear the second one has their girl counterparts.
It's Alvin and the Chipmunks and the Chipettes. Alvin and the Chipmunks.
You got the right franchise, Mike. What's the subtitle?
Man, I don't want to step on your age, but I can't pass this up. It's the Squeeple.
The Squeeple. Oh my god. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Rage, your next 2009 Christmas Day movie. You like Fern Gully? You like the Smurfs? You like Pocahontas? So you're gonna love this.
Okay. Is that Avatar? Oh, yeah, yes. Thank God, okay.
And also, it's a Nancy Meyers movie with amazing kitchens and Steve Martin gets high with Meryl Streep. It's got everything.
Steve Martin's really my foil today. Meryl Streep, wow. Wow. Is that Julie and Julia?
Oh, I get it. It's complicated, right?
It's Complicated is that title.
Oh my god, I even saw that. Okay.
Same year as Julie and Julia, though, so you're right with the 2009. Next to Ryan, we're going to Christmas Day 2012. It's based on Billy Crystal's real-life attempts to take care of his grandkids, so it has to be good.
Pass, no idea.
That is him and Bette Midler in Parental Guidance.
Never even heard of it.
It's not good. Also for Ryan. Some people might find a movie about a bunch of dwarves invading your house, wrecking everything, and basically kidnapping you to be stress-inducing, but I think it sounds like a hoot.
Oh, I think that's... Oh, but I don't know the subtitle. The Hobbit.
I think we need a little more.
Okay, it's probably the first one, so... it's probably... I don't... There and Back Again.
There and Back Again was going to be the title of the second Hobbit movie that got turned into the second and third Hobbit movies, neither of which had the subtitle There and Back Again. That first one, though, was The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey. Still for Ryan on Christmas 2012 at the movies. I'm sure the title is ironic. I mean, they're all singing and singing live. How sad could they be?
They're all singing. 2012, if they're all singing and singing live, it's probably... Is it that awful Hugh Grant movie that looks like American Idol? Yeah, pass, no idea.
Well, first I'm going to stick up for Music and Lyrics, which is a charming little movie.
Oh, no, Taylor, he was talking about, I think he was talking about American Dreams, which was the one where he was like American Idol.
Oh.
Yeah, which was bad, yeah.
Yeah, okay, my bad, everybody. But no, this movie, how sad could they be because they are Les Miserables.
Oh,
Next up, back to our Mike. We're going to Christmas 2016 at the box office. Okay, there's a pig, and she sings, like on TV, but it's a pig, and there's a porcupine, and then Taron Egerton sings Elton John.
Oh my gosh. Again, they say having kids ruins your life, but my kids have they wanted to watch this, and I said no. It's called Sing.
Correct. Your second 2016 Christmas movie? It's another prequel in a franchise whose prequels aren't generally well-liked, and something is really up with the Grand Moth.
That's going to be... Boy, you know what? Star Wars, not my strong suit. I know it's not Solo. It is... Oh, it's the heist one. Oh, come on. I don't know that. No, sorry. Robot time.
Get everything but the title. That movie is called Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Sure it is.
And still in 2016. I think it's like a sci-fi rom-com with Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence and Michael Sheen as a robot. Kind of sounds like fun.
Why are you asking me about Chris Pratt, Jennifer Lawrence, the spaceship movie?
Because it's a quiz show.
Is this what we're doing?
I didn't sign up for this to be asked questions.
No, I'm not. I mean, I don't know that.
That movie is called Passengers. One more Christmas day at the multiplex per player. For Rage, we're going to the year 1987. It's like that Hitchcock classic, but it's a comedy with the lady from Goonies.
Wow, I'm going to say... A Rear Window.
It's a loose remake of Strangers on a Train entitled Throw Mama from the Train with Danny DeVito.
Okay.
Next up, Rage. Isn't that comedian from Beverly Hills Cop? Well, he hardly looks delirious.
The Nutty Professor.
This is going to be his stand-up film, Eddie Murphy Raw, the companion to Eddie Murphy Delirious. But Eddie Murphy Raw, his super high-grossing filmed stand-up set that played theaters for months and months.
Pop quiz. Which one's red? Which one's purple?
Eddie Murphy Raw is red. Delirious is purple.
Hooray. One more 1987 Christmas Day release for Rage. Guys, it's so crazy. There's these adult men, one of whom is an actor shooting in Turkey, and the other two get caught up in a drug smuggling fiasco. I guess also there's a small child.
Is this what happens in Die Hard?
I wish it was.
Oh, yeah. No, this is the top grossing film of 1987, Three Men and a Baby.
Oh, Steve Guttenberg, Tom Selleck. Oh, my God. Wow.
I would 100% watch a Die Hard movie where John McClane has to protect a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be amazing.
It's a good setup. Yeah.
I mean, the fifth one, Jai Courtney's acting like a baby the whole time. So yeah, it's basically
true.
It's true. All right. Next to Ryan, we're going to Christmas 1994 at the box office. I've been waiting years to see big-budget movie versions of Blanca and Dhalsime, and I'm sure it's going to be amazing.
Pass.
Blanca and Dhalsime characters from the Street Fighter video games. That's the movie version of Street Fighter.
Okay.
Also in 94 on Christmas. It's got everyone. Winona and Claire Danes and Kirsten Dunst and that dreamy Christian Bale. We gotta see it.
Little Women?
Yes, for 10. And also in 94, I'm just glad someone is finally blowing the lid off the real scandal in corporate America, female executives who harass their male employees without facing any repercussions.
Okay, this is the next appearance of Michael Crichton on this show. Demi Moore and, it's called Disclosure.
Yes, for another 10. And for our mic, we're going to go to Christmas 1990. Sure, he normally does violent action movies, but this one has a bunch of kids, so it'll be for the whole family, I'm sure.
I think it was that Steve Martin vehicle, Kindergarten Cop.
God damn it.
Correct for Ted. Also at Christmas 1990. Look, the original was great, but the sequel was even better. So this third one's got to be the best movie ever.
Alien Cubed?
That's going to be The Godfather Part 3 at Christmas 1990.
So it really was the best one ever.
Yeah, they were right. And for our mic, a Christmas movie about an abandoned boy torturing two men in increasingly painful and arcane ways might sound dark, but trust me, the kids will love it.
Oh, yeah, okay, sure, that is... I listened to some of the episodes this morning, Walking the Dogs, and Home Alone came up right there. Something about the wet bandits. I was like, yeah, got it. Okay.
Home Alone is absolutely correct. A strong finish to round two for our Mike. Next up, another score update from Dan, and on to the final round. Before we get into the last round of play, it's time for the home version. See if you can correctly guess the answer to Dan's pop culture riddle by the time next week's episode comes out, and you can win fabulous prizes like the chance to name a score break here on the show. Dan, take it away.
A story that's told in 10 shots, based on Hamilton's plots. It's like Murder by Numbers, but that narrative lumbers. And at 70 minutes, this trots.
Think you know the answer? Find the page for this episode at our website, usaquizshow.com, and show off that pop culture knowledge. Then, if you want to know the answer definitively, check our social media pages next week or on Instagram and Twitter at usaquizshow. Thanks for the riddle, Dan. How about a score update?
Going to round three, it's time for the temporal pincer movement score break. Score break movement pincer temporal, the four-time its. At this point, our Mike is in lead with 80 points. Ryan is hot on his heels with 70. Rage is within striking distance. She's got 40 points and will go first in round three, and she'll need to get 5 correct answers in her category in order to move into first place.
Tight game at the top, but anything could still happen in the lightning round. That's where players have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are cruise boat, hard to watch, whodat ninja, and honky grandma be trippin'. Now, those topics aren't 100% clear from their names alone, but do your best to pick the thing you think you're going to know the most about, or maybe keep something easy strategically away from one of your fellow players. Rage, in third place, you get first crack at a lightning round category. Which of the four categories would you like? Once again, they are cruise boat, hard to watch, whodat ninja, and honky grandma be trippin'.
Okay, I've always known that I would absolutely blow it on this category selection, and the time has come. I'm going to pick hard to watch.
Have any guesses about what's going on in this category?
Is it scary stuff?
Name for the fictional movie starring 30 Rock's Tracy Jordan. This is going to be about all sorts of movies, pop culture, songs with the word hard in their title.
Okay.
90 seconds on the clock. The timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Rage, are you ready?
Yes.
In Walk Hard, he stars as Dewey Cox.
John C. Reilly.
The 1990 NES game based on this movie has a foot meter that goes down if you step on glass.
Hard Night.
Die Hard. Hard Habit to Break was a hit in 1984 for this Illinois band.
Pass.
In Spy Hard, Leslie Nielsen co-stars with this Knott's Landing and Desperate Housewives actor.
Pass.
This Hong Kong action legend directed Van Damme in 1993's Hard Target.
Jet Li.
John Woo. This band's It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday peaked at number 2 on the charts.
Pass.
This Little Children and Insidious star takes a creepy turn in Hard Candy.
Oh my god, Patrick Dempsey.
Patrick Wilson. Okay. Jay-Z turned this tune from Annie into a ghetto anthem.
Hard Knock Life.
Jesse Metcalf and Bruce Willis star in this 2020 actioner.
Hard guy.
Hard kill. This Constantine star coaches a Little League team in Hardball.
Pass.
He directed the Beatles in A Hard Day's Night and Richard Pryor in Superman 3.
Pass.
Steven Seagal protects this weird science star in Hard to Kill.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Kelly LeBrock in Hard to Kill. Dan, let's hear the rage report.
Absolutely. So first, let's go through the passes. Hard Habit to Break was a hit for the band Chicago. Spy Hard, which honestly not a good movie. You got to appreciate Leslie Nielsen trying, but Spy Hard, not so much. Co-starred Nicolette Sheridan from Desperate Housewives. Boys to Men, the premier act of New Jack Swing in the 90s, sang It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday. Keanu Reeves is the star of Constantine, who coaches a little league team in hardball. I know, there's a Constantine thing, one's from the comics. Don't worry about it. And finally, it's Richard Lester, who directed The Beatles in Hard Day's Night, and in a much lesser effort, Richard Pryor in Superman 3. Rage got two correct answers. That puts her at 60 points. Unfortunately, that is not enough to move her into first place. Next up is going to be Ryan. He'll need to get just one correct answer to tie and two correct answers in order to move into first.
Dan, you didn't like it when Ray Charles played a bus driver in Spy Hard? That was funny.
See, it's because he's blind, right?
Yeah, exactly. Friedberg and Seltzer in their heyday. All right, next up, Ryan. You've got three category choices left on the board. They are Cruise Boat, Whodat Ninja, and Honky Grandma Be Trippin'.
Okay, well, I was going to go with the one that Rage picked, and the second two are scaring the crap out of me, so I'm going to go with Cruise Boat and hope that it's not all about Speed 2.
I was hoping it would be
second choice. That'd be a wild lightning round. No. Cruise Boat, named for the fictional film starring Tracy Jordan from Within the World of 30 Rock, is going to be all about cruise ships in the world of pop culture.
Okay.
90 seconds on the clock. Ryan, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Florence Henderson appeared on this show 9 times, playing various characters.
Pass.
This alias star played shipbuilder Thomas Andrews in Titanic.
Pass.
A mega tsunami capsizes a cruise ship in this 2009 Roland Emmerich movie.
Poseidon Adventure?
2012. This 1972 Gene Hackman film had the tagline Hell Upside Down.
Poseidon Adventure.
The original book of this Cole Porter musical was co-written by P.G. Wodehouse.
Pass.
Gabriel Byrne and this Good Wife star had the leads in 2002's Ghost Ship.
Pass.
Drac takes a cruise in the third installment of this animated feature series.
Pass.
Love Boat is a 2016 episode of this series in which Gibbs, Quinn, and Palmer head out to sea.
Pass.
This 1997 sequel was inspired by a dream about a cruise ship hitting a city.
Speed 2.
He said that Alvin and the Chipmunks Shipwrecked was his worst professional experience.
Jason Lee.
David Cross. Yet another niece is in trouble, so Jessica has to take a cruise to clear her name in a 1985 episode of this show.
Pass.
Spinoffs of this reality series include Mediterranean and Sailing Yacht.
Pass.
Horatio Sanz and this Oscar winner wind up on the wrong cruise in Boat Trip.
I don't know.
Cuba Gooding Jr., star of Boat Trip.
That was rough.
Okay, Dan, let's hear the Ryan report.
Absolutely. So, Florence Henderson appeared 9 times playing different characters on The Love Boat. The alias star who played the builder of the Titanic in Titanic was Victor Garber. The Cole Porter musical that was co-written by P.G. Wodehouse is Anything Goes. Juliana Margulies has the lead in 2002's Ghost Ship. If it's Drac and it's an animated feature series, it is Hotel Transylvania. The third one isn't even in a hotel, unless you consider a cruise ship to be a hotel, in which case you're wrong. If it's Gibbs, Quinn, and Palmer, that is NCIS, the most successful drama on American television that no one I've ever talked to has ever watched, except for my uncle who comes over on Thanksgiving. Another niece is in trouble. Well, that's gotta be Murder, She Wrote. Auntie Jessica, you have to help me every single time. And finally, spinoffs of Below Deck include Below Deck Mediterranean and Below Deck Sailing Yacht. Ryan got 2 correct answers. That gives him 90 points, and Ryan is now in the lead. It's all down to our Mike. He's got 80 points. He'll need 1 question correct to tie and 2 questions correct in order to take the win.
All right, our Mike. 2 categories left on the board. We've got Whodat Ninja and Honky Grandma Be Trippin'.
You know what? Let's go Whodat Ninja.
You got a guess as to what's going on here?
Well, if it is the way of the poison fist of the ninja, then I'm probably good.
named for the fictional film starring Tracy Jordan from within the world of 30 Rock. This is going to be all about ninjas in movies and TV. 90 seconds on the clock. R. Mike, are you ready?
Yes.
This team learned the art of ninjutsu from Splinter.
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
In License to Kill, this Bond actor is attacked by ninjas.
Timothy Dalton?
In a 2010 movie, this character plays Ninja Ninja Revolution with Knives Chow.
Scott Pilgrim?
On 80s series The Master, Lee Van Cleef mentored this son of Dick Van Patten.
Oh, pass.
In Resort to Kill, Sonny Chiba and this They Live star fight off immortal ninjas.
Rowdy Roddy Piper?
He was the titular Beverly Hills ninja.
Chris Farley?
This Marvel Netflix superhero learned the art of ninjutsu from Stick.
Ooh, that is Daredevil.
Video game streamer Ninja has the most followed account on this online streaming service.
Let's try Twitch.
Since 2011, the Ninjago spinoff of this toy brand has had 14 seasons and a movie.
What's up, Dory? It's Legos!
In 2007, this newspaper reported on the ninja parade that slipped through town unnoticed again.
Pass.
Titles in this kids series include Kick Back and High Noon at Mega Mountain.
Three ninjas.
NBC has been airing this competition show since 2009.
American Ninja Warrior.
In Ninja Rap, he asked, have you ever seen a turtle get down?
Dude, that is Vanilla Ice.
Correct, but after the buzzer.
I don't even care.
All right, Dan, let's hear the R. Mike report.
All right. So first off, R. Mike, it's bizarre to me that you know about Teenage Ninja Turtles, but you don't remember Tim Van Patten from The Master. And it is The Onion that reported on the ninja parade that slipped through town unnoticed yet again. R. Mike got 10 correct answers. So that means our final scores are Rage with 60, Ryan with 90, and our winner with 180 points in a great lightning round. It's R. Mike.
R. Mike. Congratulations.
Congratulations, R. Mike, our big winner today. But that does mean it is the end of the road here in season 5 for Ryan and Rage. Amazing game. Thank you guys so much for coming on and playing with us. It was a genuine pleasure to have you. But before we go, Ryan, is there anything you'd like to point our listeners to or plug?
I guess I could plug my podcast. It's called the Damage Control Podcast. We record sporadically and have dozens of listeners. So welcome to the podcast. We talk about geek media and whatever we feel like talking about.
Thank you, Ryan. And Rage, anything you'd like to point our listeners towards?
So I make Christmas films and anyone is allowed to be in them. It's all, I outsource all of the scenes for people to act out and then they have to send them back to me and then I edit them together. And I don't have enough subscribers on my YouTube channel to have like a personalized URL. But if everyone gets out a pen and a paper, I'll read you the URL that they gave me. It's
here we go.
YouTube.com slash channel slash UC1LXJTPWXZKBUGCPFUIXQ2W.
So just this once. Just for you, Rage, we're going to take that URL, we're going to put it in our show notes. So, dear listeners, you may have written all that down, but all you need to do is go to our show notes and click on Rage's link.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. That sounds amazing.
But the biggest congratulations today are for our Mike. You're going to be moving on to the San Dimas High Finals here in Season 5. In the meantime, though, what are you going to be watching, listening to help fill in some blind spots and make sure you have all the knowledge you can for your next game?
Well, I think I'm going to call Tim Van Patten and see what he recommends.
Sounds like a great plan. And R. Mike, anything you'd like to plug? Any URLs you'd like to read in full?
I do some writing with Tropics of Meta. I also do some writing at Psycho Drive-In. Both those sites would really appreciate some traffic, so go check it out.
Thanks, R. Mike. And listeners, you can also follow R. Mike as the ant emoji over on the season bracket. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next week for the second elimination match in the Rancho Carne High Division. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show.
Just the ruling, we wouldn't accept just the second album, the Chipmunks movie. We do need the subtitle for these.
No problem. Yeah.
Yes, the famous Chipmunk Hobbit ratio has to be maintained.
It's only fair.